Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we just thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness to us, Lord. Lord, we just ask, Father, as we open your word and think of you now for these few moments, Lord, that you would help us to see Jesus. Father, and we just want to thank you again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for the Lord and what, not only what He's done for us, but for who He is. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We sing a song, or used to sometimes, or we sing it, Oh to be like Him. Oh to be like Him. And I just want to talk about that this morning. This week we talked with some people on the street, and over and over again in our trying to talk to this person, these people, the heart of their message was about what Jesus has done for them. And quoting all kinds of verses in the Bible, mostly from Paul's writings, about what Christ has done for him, or for us as human beings. And the focus of most Christianity is what Jesus has done, how He died for us and rose from the dead. And the focus is on what He's done in that sacrificial, they call work, to redeem us. But I want to turn our attention from that to what it really means to be a Christian or a follower of Jesus. Jesus came into this earth as God in the flesh. He came and taught us how to live. He came and He showed us how to live. And what I want to bring out is the very heart of Christianity should be not our relationship with Jesus because how He saved us, but that how Christ is our example. And that Christ is the man that we pattern our lives after. If your Christianity is anything other than that, it is absolutely worthless. I don't care how much you appreciate how He died for you and how thankful you are that He's saved you from something. If your heart and your life is not seeking after trying to become like the person of Christ, you don't know who He is. It's just that simple. This is just another form of religion that sets aside what God wants you to be. And what I want to just bring to our attention today is, it is your life about Jesus, about knowing Him so that you can be like Him? That's the only thing that matters in Christianity. That we become like Jesus. That's our goal. And if your Christianity is all about doctrine or religion or keeping this rule or keeping that rule or having a church fellowship that there is absolutely perfect people in, you missed it. It's about each individual person patterning their life after Christ. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Most of Christianity, and this has probably got me labeled as a heretic for more often than anything that I've say, is I believe the words of Jesus are more important than the words of Paul. Jesus is who we follow. And if we don't understand and follow after what Jesus, as the heart and soul of our Christianity, the way He lived, the way He acted, the things that He taught, if that's not the heart and soul, we don't have a clue of what Paul was talking about. Because that was what Paul was talking about. People get the cart before the horse. They go to Paul to learn their Christianity. And they come up with all these ideas. And then they start looking at Jesus. And all they can see is the sacrifice that He made. That sacrifice is absolutely worthless if you don't see who He is. And have a desire in your heart to be like Him. We're not politans. The word Christian is to be like Christ. I emphasize even above Paul's writings, James and Peter and John. These men who were with this man that we say we love. This man who we say we want to be like. And that is the heart of Christianity. If that's not your heart, I don't know what you can call yourself. But it's not being a follower of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2. To start, verse 16. Let's just start in verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondservants, bondslaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. These verses that he's giving, these are practical applications of not about a sacrifice that was made for you, but how to pattern your life after Christ. To be like Him. Verse 19. For this finds favor. For if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when he's suffering unjustly, For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. This is what Peter wrote. This is Peter and James and John, these men that walked with Jesus. In their epistles, they're very practical. They're not deep and theological. They're very practical ways, pointing you to one thing: to teach you to be like Jesus. That's the purpose of being a Christian, a follower. A follower is someone who follows. Christ came into this world. And the Bible says in John that he came into his own and his own received him not. He spoke, and very few people listened to him. You know, we look in the Bible and we've got the Bible. We study it frontwards and backwards and think we've got our own little thing figured out of this right way and this right way and doing this so-so. We can take the teachings of Jesus and put all the emphasis on them and say, this is what he taught and I'm living by these rules. That is not the heart of what he taught. He tried that with the law to teach us a whole bunch of rules to live by. That is not what God wants for you. God wants you to be like him. He wants you to be like Jesus. And the teachings are just showing ways we can trim off things that we need to do to line up with what he wants. But it's not him. It's just part of it. His life, whenever you separate the life of Christ from his commandments, all you've got is another new law trying to live by. But when you see how he lived, we've been called according to this purpose to be like Jesus. Is that the desire of your heart? Or is your desire to be saved? Is your desire just to know that you're going to heaven? Or is the desire of your heart to follow Jesus? Is the desire of your heart just to live your own life and do your own thing? Come to church. Put on a little show. Live by all these rules. And think that you're all safe and secure because you're living within these. You're not sinning. You're not doing wrong things. You're living a clean life. I'm going to the right church. Or is the desire of your heart to have a hero that you want to pattern your life after? You know, all over the world, there's people, they lift up some person because he's athletic, or some person because he's funny, or some person because he can pretend to be a movie star, or he can sing, and people pattern their lives after them. That's idolatry. That's having another God before you. They may see some rich person. Wow, he's what I want to be. I want to learn his methods, do his thing. They see someone lifted up, being a an example in whatever aspect in life that is attractive. And they begin to buy their books. They listen to their messages. And they learn to be like their example. There's nothing strange in that. That's the way we were created. But the problem is instead of patterning ourselves after all these worldly examples, God wants us to pattern ourselves after Him. And people who are living this way. God gave us fathers for sons to look up to and say, I want to be like him. That's the way God uses to train us. And Jesus came into this earth. You know, we look back. We got the Bible. We look back at Jesus. And we've got him all figured out. We've got him all figured out. Oh yeah, we'd know him if he was here. Boy, we'd just honor him. We'd believe every word he said. But when Jesus came into this earth, it wasn't the scholars that recognized him. He didn't have, like I said before, his Jesus, Son of God, tattooed on his head. He didn't have a halo around him. Oh boy, there's Jesus over there. He was a man. He was a carpenter. Lived with his mother. The people said, isn't that guy living that lives with his mother that's just a carpenter? They didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. He didn't have a title. He was a nobody. But the way that he lived and the things that he did stood out to people. The things that he spoke, they heard what he said. There was something different than your normal religion when he came along. It was something different. And people that recognized that followed him. The disciples, many of them left their jobs, left the work that they were doing, left their families, and went traveling around the country, living with a man who didn't have a place to lay his head. Why? If all they had to do was believe that he was going to die, they didn't even believe that. When he told them over and over again, Son of Man's going to be lifted up, they didn't believe it. They didn't want to hear that. But they saw that this man was living a life different than all the rest of the religion of the world. And they left everything and just began to follow him around, learning from him, listening from him, listening to him, seeing how he responded, thinking, oh, he's not going to break that. Wait a minute. He just did something completely opposite of what everybody thought he was going to do. And turned them all away at points. And yet, some of them still stayed with him. Because they trusted him. They had faith that what he's teaching, there's something different here. And they lost everything. Laid aside everything for one purpose, to learn about this man so that they could be like him. And he picked 12 people, 12 men. that were following him. Out of all the world, just he picked 12 of them. Who were these 12 men? They were nobody to the world. But he picked them. And even among those 12, there's some that stand out completely as his favorites. We want everything all equal, everybody on the same plane. There's nothing equal at all in the world. The ones that drew near to him the most were the ones who loved him the most. And oftentimes, they're the ones that got scolded the most whenever they were following him. They were the ones that were rebuked the most. Did they get all mad? Did they get all offended because he's picking on me and run away? No, they drew nearer to him. They drew nearer to him. They took that correction and became more like him. That's the goal of being like Jesus. That's the goal. That's what it is to be a Christian. Next time, as you're living your life, it ought to be right on your mind. What would Jesus do? How would he respond in this next situation I'm facing, this thing I'm going through? Is my desire really just to do what he wants me to do? Or am I going to just do my own thing and appear religious? You've been called for this purpose. The very first principles of Christianity, the very foundation, is to be like him. Isaiah 53. Verse 1 says, O Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? Who listened? And to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? You know, the young people talked about David, a man after God's own heart. He was trying to pattern his life after God. That was the kind of man that the Lord reveals himself to, that shows more of himself so that you can be more like him. So that when he came into the world, it was men like David that recognized him. Men that loved God. It wasn't perfect men. It wasn't strong men. It was just men who wanted to be like their God. Verse 2, we proclaimed his presence as a child. As a root in a thirsty land, he had no form or glory. And we saw him, and he had no form or beauty. But in comparison to all men, his form was lacking in honor. He was a man in suffering and knew how to bear sickness. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He suffered in this life, just like all of us. He was a man, and he suffered. He wasn't an outstanding man to be noticed. King Solomon was head and shoulders above every other man. He stood out, beautiful. Jesus wasn't. His face was turned away, and he was dishonored and not esteemed. You want to be like Jesus? Do you like being dishonored? Do you like being not esteemed? He didn't just set out to be that way. He was just trying to be what God wants him to be. And it was rejected by men. He was thought little of. Nobody listened to him. Very few people paid any attention to him. He was dishonored. He was talked about. We see his life. Jesus went around doing good. He went around doing good. He helped people. He, as far as I could see, never refused anybody that wanted healed. He helped them. And we would think, wow, a man like this would become so wonderful and so loved that everyone would just flock to him. But they didn't. They got what they wanted out of it and turned away. Very few people followed him. You know, nobody recognized him because he tried to be the holiest person in town. You know, if he would have tried that, he would have been a very popular person in religious circles. But he didn't. In fact, he broke many of the molds in what everybody thought he should be doing. He just disregarded their traditions and just did what he knew was right. And they hated him for it. Some of the things about Jesus. He helped people. He was there for people. He was dependable. He was loyal. He was faithful. We in Matthew 26. Verse 20. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man will go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him, for that man, if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself." While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Christ cared about people. He was willing to stand by a person, a man, that he even knew was going to betray him. And he stood with him. He just talked to Judas, who had already conspired with the Jews to sell him. Jesus confronted him about it. And then he broke bread with him. He warned him. And then he broke bread with him. Because Jesus didn't give up on him. He hadn't given up on him. He was available to be loyal to this person. The Bible says that a smoking flax he won't quench, and a broken reed he won't cut off. As long as there's life, as long as there's life in people, we need to be there to stand by them, to be true and loyal. That's being like Jesus. This idea of shunning people that disagree with you, it's not like Jesus. That's not like Jesus at all. This idea of not being patient with people, it's not like Jesus. Look at all the times Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith, get away from me. I'm sick of messing with you." He instructed us, if a brother comes 49 times in a day, or 490 times in a day, and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I messed up again," get rid of them. No. Forgive them. Forgive them. And yet, Jesus, in His mercy and His goodness, and Him being God, spoke with Judas, who was going to betray Him, and He stuck with him, even when Judas went right out and started gathering the mob to come and get Him. He left Jesus. It wasn't the other way. He didn't drive Him away. He didn't say, "I can't fellowship with you anymore." Jesus was who He was, and the people rejected Him. It wasn't the other way around. The people rejected Him. They didn't like what He had, and they rejected Him. Our goal is to be like Jesus. And if we miss that, I mean, we have His teachings. But look at the man when we read the Bible. That's what I like about these smaller apostles, these James and John and Peter. These were men who walked with Him. These were men who learned about Him. And they told others about this man. We've got it. It's so easy for us. We've got a Bible all laid out. There wasn't even a Bible for 325 years. There was a little bits and pieces. But what it was stories about this man who walked upon the earth. One of the boys gave an example of a man that lived in a community for a while in Guatemala. And he just helped people. And he went away, and still to this day, people talk about that man. About what he did. Those are examples of people we should be patterning our lives after, because it's like Jesus. People are so scared to trust a man. You find a man doing good. You find a man living the way Jesus did, And you pattern yourself after him. I looked for men whenever I was a young man. After I started reading the Bible and thought, I looked for men who were patterning themselves like Jesus. And I found a lot of theologians. You know what? I learned a lot from men. I heard examples of men. But I was turned to theology. Or after a while, to rules. Instead of examples. Be an example of a man of God. Be an example, you're going to be rejected by most people. You're going to be despised by most people. Thought little of. There's going to be people that will spend their religious life plotting against you, trying to destroy you. That's what they did with Jesus. Be like Jesus. Jesus came into this world. He wasn't a man that everyone said, oh wow, he's a good looking guy. He didn't have power. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. He was just content to work in the carpenter shop and be a man. Not too attractive. Not too attractive. But people heard him. They saw him. And they heard what he said. And they began to pattern their lives after him as an example. Paul even said that. Follow me as I follow Christ. And if the problem is most people get Christ out of the way. They get, instead of following Christ, they do just follow a man. Not like he follows Christ, because he's charismatic. Because, I don't know why. But their trust becomes in that man instead of in God. And seeing God in that man. And then, oftentimes, men are going to fail us. They're going to. And if our faith is in that man, we're going to give up and go away. But if our faith is in the Christ that this man's following, we're going to say, get up, go on, let's go. The problem is very few people have their faith in Christ. Enough faith in Christ to trust someone else. Their faith is misguided. It's in something else besides following Jesus. And so they get discouraged because someone failed them. They get disappointed because someone isn't with them. But when our faith is in Christ and we're trying to be like Him, these are some of the examples He gave for us to be like Him. Enduring being wronged. I've been wronged before. It's not nice. It's not fun. But do you just discard the person who wronged you? Or do you be like Jesus? And when Judas came in the garden with a whole mob behind him, "Friend, are you betraying me?" But he called him his friend. Peter went out and denied the Lord. Jesus just looked at him. He didn't, "You disciples, right in my time of need, right in my time of need, you ran out on me. I'm through with you." Paul did that. Man left him in the ministry. "I'm done with him." That's not like Jesus. We can listen to Paul where he's like Jesus. But when he's not, just because it's written in this book doesn't mean that's the way we're supposed to act. Is it like Jesus? Does it fit? Is our religion about becoming like Jesus? That's what I want us to think about. Many good things in religion actually misrepresent God. That's why it ain't about a law. It ain't about keeping rules. All of those things that in themselves can be good can in themselves misrepresent God. That's what it means to focus on Jesus, not on his death. Not on his death. Focus on his life. Learn to live like him, and then you'll know how to die like him. The examples of the martyrs that we read about, they weren't focused about how he died. They had patterned their lives to be how he lived, so that they were then able to go to the stake and the sword and the fire and die like him, because they had learned to live like him. It looks so hard sometimes. Religion, God, all of those things look so difficult, so long, and so bleak sometimes. So hard. But when we just look at Jesus and say, "I want to be like him," that's when our focus is where it should be. That's when our eyes are upon him. It's not some mystical thing that makes us feel better and gives us comfort. It's, "I want to be like him." And one of these days when all this cloud is revealed, one of the most miserable things I believe in eternity is when people actually see who God is. He's good. And we were created by him, for him, and it will be just what we were created to be. But we fight so hard against that. But when we see him as he is, we'll see his goodness. His goodness. And one of the regrets of eternity will be, "I thought he was something else. I thought he was... I thought I could never measure up. And he's good. He was good. He was good. And I chose something else. I chose to make my hero a guy that knows how to make $1 million a year. Pattern after him. Guy that... the rodeo star or a baseball player. I patterned myself after them. When I could have patterned myself after the good God, Jesus Christ. I thought my religion had to have a jihad. Anybody that didn't believe the way I do. I thought we had to try to destroy everybody that disagrees with me. That's not a good God. Everything that God did, we can make it look bad. But He did it for a good reason, for goodness. For goodness. And we'll know that when we see Him. There was a few people that saw that in a man. They saw that in a man. Jesus was a man. Tempted in all points, just like you are. Some people want to make him into some god walking around that wasn't even a man. He was every bit as much a man as you are. Had every thought in his mind that you have. Has every temptation in his mind and in his body that you do. Probably magnified several times. But he had seen God. He had been with him. And he knew what he was. And he lived his life with that in his mind. Being willing to go through whatever he wanted him to do. Trusting that whatever happened to him, that he knew his goodness. And he became our example to follow, to trust in. So that we can now overcome those things. He set us free to be like Him. Christianity is not knowing this book from cover to cover. It's about knowing about Jesus. It's about knowing who this man was. This book shows us who he is. And we each know. We each know that we have the choice to be like Him or not. Praise the Lord. Our heart and our minds ought to be about learning about Jesus and patterning, making Him our hero, making Him our idol, wanting to be like Him, like you would a best friend. and being willing to go through what He went through for Him. Love Him. That's why He said the verse the boys gave in John chapter 13 about a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And by this, all men will know. Why? Because we're like Him. We're like Him. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank You again for Your goodness and mercy. Help us, Lord, to be like Him, Father. To offer ourselves any cost, any price. Lord, only to be like You. Father, help us keep our eyes and focus. That's what it means to trust You, to trust Jesus. To be like Him. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't have anything you want to share? Yeah, it wasn't the reason he didn't choose them, because they believe he was going to die. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll meet back here this evening at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. God bless you all.
Feed not child of strange forbearance, thy blood your brethren know. Some are tried through fires of testing, some are tried through floods of woe. Jesus knows our strength and weakness, understands we are but friends.
Amen.